And yeah, I think we thought about that more in terms of would men do better with task-oriented groups, problem-solving interventions. I mean, I know there are some studies that say that men will do better in a group setting as opposed to a one-to-one individual setting. So I think really more than anything, we're just raising that question rather than citing any specific studies. The other, I think, part we looked at, too, is, again, with solution-oriented or solution-focused therapy, how could that be oriented in working with males in that setting? Also, again, I think, you know, given the language of therapy, given the way that therapy has been constructed, men don't often have the facility with language and verbal expression. So again, does that have implications for men not seeking therapy as readily? And again, if it was designed differently, would this in fact create more effectiveness and maybe more availability for men? The second section, the anterior cingulate cortex, it's sort of a fear of punishment center of the brain, smaller in men than women. And we thought this had a lot of implications in terms of impulsivity. You know, we always look at men that are impulsive, and in a lot of my treatment plans and men that I work with, the idea is to reduce impulsivity. So again, how is impulsivity viewed in terms of a therapeutic perspective? Ed gave you some of the statistics about 8 out of 10 children on psychiatric medication for ADD disorder, 7 out of 8 diagnosed with autistic spectrum disorder, 75% of suicides across all age groups being men. And again, the prefrontal cortex, which was the third part that she talked about, again, total attention to this now, and the ability to put on the brakes in terms of impulses, that area much larger in women as opposed to males. And of course, the prefrontal cortex has a lot of relevance in terms of major mental health disorders. The final area that's not on here, I'll just say very briefly, the MNS, it's the mirror neuron system. And that is, has more, it's a larger area in the female brain. And one study, I was talking to a colleague last night, he said that female therapists were much more prone or vulnerable to secondary traumatization when they worked with trauma patients. And we wondered what the implications were for that in terms of that area being more active for females, the fact that they maybe are more empathic, are more in tune in terms of language, in terms of tone. Would that have some relevance in terms of making them more vulnerable to secondary traumatization when working with their patients? So we'll go to Sandra Whittleson and some of her work very quickly, and then close with Alan.
Okay. Anyway, so it seems like the time police are out there. Anyways, so I think Jerry spoke to some of the differences, and basically. These are some things that anecdotally people might have experienced in terms of the relationships between males and females or in your significant relationships. And what we find fascinating now is that the brain, some of the brain correlates are speaking to some of these same things, which we see as really as something that speaks to normalization. One of the issues is in therapy a lot of times that males might get sort of a bad rap for certain tendencies or certain behaviors. Well, it's interesting to note that, the sort of the brain proclivities go along with it. Now, we're not saying that just because, we have differential brains that means that we're hardwired and there's no possibility of changes at all. But we do think that it's extremely significant and needs to be looked at further. As Jerry mentioned, Dr. Sandra Whittleson, who Dr. Stevens mentioned as well, she speaks to the differences between the brains of men and women, and she says different parts of the brain get stimulated, the cognitive consequences of the processes are actually different. And she talks about that the connectivity of the amygdala in men and women is different. In other words, if you were to look at it anatomically as to where the pathways go from the amygdala to the cortex, if you do a functional MRI, you find the right amygdala in men is more functionally connected to regions that actually involve the motor activity, like, for example, the motor cortex. And also that the corpus callosum is more robust in the female brain than in the male brain, thicker with more neuronal connections between the right and left hemispheres, which means that there's more communication between the language hemisphere and the action hemisphere in females than in males in general. Kind of interesting. And the converse is also true. Less communication between the language centers and action centers in the male brain. Anyone ever have that idea that that might be a possibility, any of you out there? And also, it can reasonably be expected that this will manifest itself in discernible patterns of behavior over time. So, seems like we're trying to put 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound bag here, and I apologize for all the scrambling around. But we say psychotherapy, with its bias in favor of linguistic, emotive evaluation and management of human behavior. As it is constructed, practiced, and promoted, there's a near universal disapproval of action over thoughtfulness accompanied by feelings. In other words, some responses are deemed better for what amounts to the female brain's amygdala-driven pattern of reflection and emotion over the male brain's TPJ, or temporal parietal junctions, driven urge to action. I don't know if you got all that. And finishing up here, are you going to do this thing here? I'm holding this.